welcome back to the Attitude of Gratitude podcast with Joelle Lynn. Thank you so much for joining me. Today, I want to talk about something that's been kind of controversial. It's burning books. I've been public about posting my recent coming to Christ, and all that that has involved of me unraveling the deception that I got myself wrapped up into over the past decade. And I've had a lot of people reach out. I've had a lot of people get triggered by the things that I'm sharing and doing. And I've also had a lot of people, you know, asking questions to wonder, like, why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. So I figured I'd just make a podcast to kind of just discuss it a little bit. So over the past 10 years, I've been working really hard to build up a strong library, or so I thought. I've collected so many books and, about mysticism, about, you know, manifesting, about energy frequencies, chakras, mudras, you know, some fictitious authors who just kind of use the law of attraction and manifestation techniques in their writing, in their books, even though they're fictitious. You know, the concept of, you know, God is in all of us. We're all a piece of God, and we're all connected. We're all one. Gene keys, you know, you unlocking your hidden potential through your DNA. All this kind of New Age, basically, books. And, you know, for the longest time, I was just working so hard to build this library, my personal library. And I just, this was my pride and joy, you guys. Like, this was one of my most prized possessions, was my library. And I've moved a few times now, and these books, if you collect books, they're not easy to move with. They're heavy, they take up a lot of space, and, yeah, it's baggage for sure. And I can see now how these books, you know, we have to be careful with our possessions, because we think that we possess them, but they live up to their name and they end up possessing us, especially when we put our pride and joy, our happiness, anything into it. If that gets taken away, so does all of that pride and joy and our happiness. So we have to be really careful with these things. And something I want to add is just, you know, I felt for the longest time that this was such sacred knowledge, secret knowledge that was just so important to have. Like, obviously this is secret. Not everybody knows about this stuff. Not everybody honors this secret sacredness. And it was like, I felt like I had some really big secrets, you know? And I was like, okay, like this is some powerful stuff. And this is probably going to be targeted one day. Like, I need to really, like, protect this library that I'm growing. And honestly, from the first book that I started collecting to now, I just always had this feeling that, like, it was gonna be attacked, my collection, like books were gonna be threatened. And, you know, it's happened in the past, large book burnings, but for some reason I was just like, I gotta be really careful with these, because I'm working really hard to build this knowledge library, and I just have this feeling that it's going to be threatened. Fast forward to now, little did I know that I would be the one destroying it. It's really interesting. So back on that topic, you know, as I've come to Christ and I've learned more about God's word and, you know, his commandments, I've learned, you know, he's a jealous God, and for good reason. There's a lot of deception in the world from Satan, and it's led to be misleading and make us think that it's so pure, it's so light, it's so good. And that's, you know, in the scriptures. No wonder, for Satan will disguise himself as an angel of light, you know? And so that's why discernment, again, is so important. It's something that you really want to pray for. It's something that I'm continuously praying for, because we can't just go off of the surface level of what we see. We just can't. We really have to know deeper. We have to, you know, it's like an iceberg. You have to see what's below the surface. It's so much more, so much more. And, you know, one of the ways that Satan deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden was the lust of the eyes, you know, this beautiful fruit tree. Of course it's good for eating, you know, and that's one of the biggest ways that we can get tempted by Satan is the lust of the eyes. So it's no wonder, you know, all these beautiful rainbow chakras and crystals and all this beautiful love and light and free spirit, you know, it's beautiful, right? It's just so enticing. But, you know, if we need to look deeper under the surface for where these things are. And, you know, a lot of these books like yoga, gosh, it looks so good, right? And there's this spiritual aspect that we're taught that it's so good for us. But if you look deeper at the roots, you know, there's this information is in the internet. Like, you can research it. But some people just want to stop to where they're comfortable. They don't want to go further. They just want to say, oh, yeah, it's good exercise. It's helping me get flexible. It's helping the blood in my body move. My bones stay nimble. It's, you know, helping me meditate, all this stuff. I feel great. I'm just going to stop there. I'm not going to research it anymore. People want to tell me it's demonic. That's messed up. This is making me feel good. I'm not going to look anymore. But we really need that discernment, you guys. We really need to question everything. Everything. If you go to India, you'll find that the majority of people there are Christian because they know that this stuff is demonic. It's not practiced over there as much as it is here in America and in Western civilization, because it's just been so far removed from its true origins. But that doesn't mean that the true origins aren't even part of it. What I've come to find is there's spiritual laws. These spiritual laws where, you know, if ritual and tradition is originated and cultivated and created for a spiritual purpose, those spiritual laws cannot be transmuted. So when we do yoga, we can, it means to yoke yourself, and it's Hindu god, it's a Hindu religion. So you're yoking yourself to that Hindu god. There's Christians that are trying to, you know, make holy yoga a thing, where instead of a sun salutation, it's a prayer and it's a bow to our Holy Father in heaven. That's not it, because the spiritual laws in the first place, this was created to honor and invoke and yoke yourself to a Hindu god, essentially from a Christ following belief. That Hindu god essentially is a Satan, you know, or a demon from Satan's fallen angels. So I have all these books, you know, I've got these yoga books, I've got these chakra meditation, and, you know, Acts 19:19 in the Bible, it says, you know, everybody brought their books together of curious arts and occult magic and all this stuff that God is so, he's forbidden us to dabble in for good reason. I've come to find that these commandments given by God are not to keep us in control, which I always thought, you know, I was like, I don't need to be controlled. I'm sovereign. They're not for that at all. It's out of love. He loves us so much, and he knows that Satan is so crafty and so deceptive that if we, this planet, this earth, is Satan's playground. It's Satan's territory. God sent us here, but he's like, well, you're my children, and you're going to be going into the battlefield, and these commandments are your armor. This is part of your armor that you're going to need to protect yourself and shield yourself from the curse of the world. So when we live outside of the commandments, it's a curse. The commandments themselves are not the curse, it's the protection. And it's a lot to unravel, and I literally have to unravel all these lies, like I said, that I got myself wrapped up in the beginning. And I willingly did. It's like when you got like a big long rope and you're holding onto it and you're slowly just turning in circles and that rope is just wrapping around you. And like 20 minutes later, you can't move, you know? That's how I feel. And I'm slowly unraveling this web of lies that I got myself wrapped up into. And so with these books, you know, understanding that this is a deception. This is not only, you know, teaching people yoga to yoke yourself to a Hindu god, or, you know, that you're God. It's taking people away from God. And I mentioned it before, but, you know, Satan doesn't have to tempt us to murder or steal or, you know, worship him. He just has to do the littlest thing to make us not want God in our life. And a big way to do that is to make us think that we are God, you know, or to even provide us a false God. then why would we need God? And, you know, a lot of New Agers are tapping into spirit guides and angels, and they're literally channeling spirits. And we've got to be careful, because our egos are a really big doorway for Satan to manipulate us, you know? You notice it. Well, you don't notice it when you're in it. You think, you know, you're just working really hard to be better for the collective. First, you have to be better for yourself so you can be a better person to help the collective, right? And it, what it comes down to, though, is like, especially these people that are channeling spirits, it's a power trip. It's like, oh, I create my reality. I am God. I manifest things. I'm special. I can channel these spirits. I can channel these entities. They chose me for a reason, you know? That feeds off your ego. It's what it really comes down to. But people who are light and love don't want to hear that. They're saying, how dare you think that I'm being selfish when I'm trying my best to be my best for the collective? But, you know, it's crazy. It's such a mind mess, because people think that they're God, you know, but yet they're channeling entities. So it's like, you're getting this from somewhere. You're not God. You're taking this energy from somewhere, and it's not God. So with all that being said, with these books, the reason I'm destroying them, and I'm not selling them, and I'm not just throwing them away, I'm literally doing my best to make sure they do not exist and they cannot be a pathway for anyone else to be deceived. I've spent so much money and time building up this library, hauling it to every place I've moved, you know, putting it in storage, like protecting it, like cherishing it, idolizing it. And I realized that if I were to sell these books, one, you know, I'm creating a pathway for others to be deceived. There's a lot of people, I've built a lot of relationships online, and if I sell these books to these people, that's them putting their trust in me that I'm selling something of value, regardless if they see value in it or not. And I don't, you know, I know the motives behind these books, and for me to mislead other people to think that this is valuable, I can't live with myself and do that now that I'm aware. You know, once you're awake, you cannot go back to sleep. And it's not just conspiracy theorist mindset. Like, this is for when God lifts the veil too. You can't unsee everything, and I just can't participate. Like, that's sinful. And two, if I were to sell these books, you know, no conscience, nothing making me feel guilty, but if I were to sell these books, that's me taking my faith away from God, you know? I believe God loves me so much. He loves you too, and He will provide for us. He does, you know? But if we take that faith out of Him, like if I were to sell these books and say, hey, like, you know, I put a lot of money into these and I don't think I'm going to be able to earn it back any other way. So sorry, God, I don't think you got me on this, and I'm going to have to sell these, even though I know for a fact that you're against this. I love you, but like, I got to do what I got to do. That's such a slap in the face, I feel. And it's just taking that faith away from God and putting it into these items, you know, saying these are going to provide me more abundance than my Holy Father. And that's not something I believe anymore at all. And I just can't keep perpetuating that illusion. So this is a personal choice. You know, I've got a lot of people telling me I'm keeping company with Nazis because Nazis used to do this, that I'm being fascist, and to destroy these books is to basically, I don't know, like say other religions are all wrong. And, you know, these are my books. I paid for them. This is my property. If I wasn't public about it, no one would even know. But I am public about it, and for every one person that has reached out to lash out, I've had at least three, per every one person, three reach out to me saying I inspired them and I showed them that they can do it too, that they can get rid of their items that are possessing them. Here's the thing, we think that we possess items, they're called possessions. What it comes down to is the other way around, they possess us, especially when we start to idolize them, when we start to put all our value in them. It's again, a mind mess, and there's so much illusion that when you're in it, you think other things are the illusion, but when the veil's lifted, you just realize it's just a mind mess. And so, you know, the same thing goes with all these New Age items, like crystals, all these crystals I had. And the thing is that it took me a while. It took me about a week after coming to Christ to actually get this stuff out of my home. It was on my list, but I kept putting it off. And I finally hung out with some friends who were strong believers. We had a dinner, we had a Shabbat dinner, and afterwards I told them my testimony of everything that I encountered when the veil was lifted. And it's very traumatizing, and it gave me PTSD, and it's a big, intense story. So I'm still waiting to share that. But they prayed for me afterwards. They did a laying on of hands, and I got home that night, and I experienced my first demonic attack, because these spirits are with me. They know I'm coming to Christ, and when we are deep in the illusion, we're not a threat. Even if we're away from God, we're not a threat to Satan, because he's got us in his grasp. Like, he's got us looking the other way. But when we start to come to Christ, that's when we become a threat, and that's when he retaliates. So these spirits knew that I was going to get rid of this stuff the next day. So I had a demonic attack in the middle of the night. It was almost like sleep paralysis, but I wasn't able to move. I just couldn't speak. I tried so hard to scream out for Jesus. I knew what to do, but I couldn't. And this happened 3 times in the middle of the night, and then I woke up and I just started reading the scriptures. And then the next morning, I went straight to just getting everything that I could find out of the house. Because the thing is that with all these crystals and meditating and thinking that they have this healing power, you know, they are creations from God, but that's it. And when we take that power away from God, that he can give us, and that he can, that healing power, and we're putting it into the creation and taking it from the Creator, that's a sin. And that takes your intention away from the spiritual laws, and you start to open a doorway for Satan's demons to manifest, because it's a sin. Sin is missing the mark, is what it means, but it's also like it opens a doorway for demonic presence to, I guess, oppress and possess us, or these items that we've given these doorways entry to. So after that, I went through the house, I put all the books in a box, I put them all outside, and I knew I wanted to destroy them, I just wanted to make sure I had the right method to do it. So a month later, on my 1 month anniversary of coming to Christ, is when I began burning them. And actually, the day that I burned them, that night, I experienced another demonic attack. And it, you know, it's gonna happen. We're not, once you become a believer, it's not a cakewalk, because like I said, that's when you're on the radar of Satan, where he's like, dang it, we lost another one. I know I'm not gonna get her back, but I'm mad. So like, we're gonna mess with her. And that's why it's so important for me to just continue to eradicate and renounce and rebuke any involvement. And the greatest display of that for God, and to show Satan that you have no power over me, is to destroy these possessions that have been possessing me, you know, that I put so much value and idolization in, and you know, letting it really just be something that I wanted to protect, to say, hey, you know what, there's no power here, there's no possession over me, and I am going to destroy it to prove to you that there's nothing here for you. You have no control over me. This is all God. There's no room for anything else but God. And this is my physical, visual display of action to show and to prove that. There's so much power in that, to take back your sovereignty, because like I said, the possessions can possess us, and we think that we're using them when actually they're using us, and they're keeping us a prisoner and a slave, essentially, to sin and to Satan's deception. So in a nutshell, that is why I am choosing the burning route, and I'm not selling, I'm not gifting them away to anybody, I'm not donating them to any kind of thrift store, and I'm not just throwing them in the trash. I am destroying any ability for them to exist. And personally, that's my choice. This is my property. I am not keeping company with Nazis. That's a very bold and outrageous statement. And, you know, I'm not going in other people's homes and robbing them of their properties and destroying their New Age books. This is my path. This is my property. And I am denouncing it all and destroying it as I rightfully can. So I just wanted to make a quick little podcast about this, because I've had a lot of people asking me questions, and that's fine. You know, I'm totally okay with the questions. That's fine. But when you start to judge and you start to tell me that I'm keeping company with Nazis or anything like that. You know, that's really uncalled for. You can have your opinions, but it's not okay to make such bold statements like that and to, you know, tell me I'm a fascist. Like, this is literally my property. So I'm not judging you for what you're doing with your property. And people are saying, you know, if you're going to destroy other people's faith books, then don't get mad when people do it to you. And like, hey, you know, if you destroy a Bible, that's between you and God. I'm not going to sit here and condemn you, right? Only God can judge. But, you know, I'd really want you to think about the reason that you're doing it. Is it out of spite that you want to burn a Bible? Or is it because you've read it and you think it's absolute blasphemy? And even though God has so much teaching and knowledge in there, that you don't believe that God wants this Bible around? Because that's the reason that I'm destroying these books, is because I've read the Bible, I honor the Bible, you know, I pray to God, and He's led me to the Bible. It wasn't the other way around. You know, I lived a life of sin, I lived a life of temptation, and I had the veil lifted, and I saw exactly what I was getting myself involved with, and it was straight evil. So I came to God, and I was like, please reveal yourself to me, please, like, I want the truth, and like, I'm sorry, like, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. He led me to His Bible, His Word. It wasn't that I was seeking the Bible and I'm trying to be, you know, religious. It's the other way around. Then He led me to His Word and I start reading it and I see my whole life is written in the Bible. Like, it's like in reverse. Like, I just see it and I see all the warnings as to why I shouldn't have gotten involved with the cult, as to why I shouldn't have gotten involved with witchcraft or divination or, you know, the curious magic arts, like any of that. Like, it's all written out here. And I realize, you know, it all stemmed from a church wound that I had growing up. And the thing is that our wounds are such great doorways for Satan to enter our life and deceive us. Like I mentioned in the last podcast, a lot of the people in the New Age, if not all of them, you know, humans, we get hurt. We get hurt through life and we carry those wounds. And those wounds, you know, we just want to heal. We just want to be loved. And Satan's really good at offering that illusion. And it can feel really good for a while, but you can feel really good and still be on the wrong path. The path to hell is not lined with flames and spikes and, you know, skulls. It's lined with money and success and fame and beautiful, beautiful imagery and such good feelings, you know? It can be really deceptive. And that's again why I say discernment is so important. And I hope this message reached who it needed to reach. And I hope it gives some more understanding as to why I'm taking these actions. And I really hope that it inspires some people to question, you know, and to do some more digging and see what is yoga really about. You know, what is this chakra stuff? You know, chakra healing in the body, these wheels of life, you know, you look deeper and you see that it stems from the Kabbalah tree of life. Okay, well, behind that is demonology, and it's all demonic. There's literally, like, Aleister Crowley and Helena Blavatsky. They are the founders of tapping into satanic origins, honestly. Not the founders, because obviously it goes back to Jesus' time, but you know, there, it's the roots of this New Age movement. It's all disguised as beautiful light and love, and it is the roots of Satanism and satanic. Satanism isn't even worshiping Satan. It's worshiping yourself. It's saying that you are God, and that is exactly what New Age is. And but the roots are Satan. You know, that was the first lie from the Garden of Eden, from the serpent, was eat this fruit and you will be just like God, knowing of truth and evil, you know? So we have to be really careful, and y'all, we are not God, okay? If we were God, why can't we just fix the world? And if someone wants to say, well, then why isn't God fixing the world? I just want to say, He gave us His plan already. It's all spelled out in Revelations, and it's unfolding as we speak. Like, there's a meme and it's like, you better start believing in biblical prophecies because you're in one. So with that said, you know, if you have any questions, my biggest recommendation is to just go on your knees as you are and just pray for God to reveal himself. You can even just be like, dude, are you real? God, if you're real, like, can you show me? And he's not just going to pop out with a booming voice and say, hey, I'm right here. He's going to be like putting people in your life. He's going to, you know, open your eyes to things. He might even lift the veil for you. The thing is that he knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He created us. He knows every facet of our being, and he knows how to reach us. So sometimes it's a person that he puts in your life to share his word. Sometimes it's a situation that you just pray for, and there's just no other explaining. Sometimes he fills you with the Holy Spirit, and there's just no denying it. Sometimes he lifts the veil, and you just see Satan everywhere, and you're like, okay, if Satan's real, I know for a fact God is real. And sometimes, eventually, he's going to lead you to his word, because that's why it's here in the first place. It's not just some book. It's literally God's fingerprint. And you can even study, it's like estimate, I forget what it's called, it's like ESLL, but the way that the Bible is written, every 50th letter spells out the word Torah. Throughout every book in the Torah, you know, and there's this science behind it where it's like, this is not just coincidence. This is God's fingerprint. This is, no matter how much it has been manipulated over time, it's still kept its integrity. And once you come to God and you pray for that discernment, you pray for that truth, the Bible changes. You start to see it for what it is. I promise you, I've tried my whole life to try and understand the Bible, and it literally was just gibberish. It did not make sense. I never got any messages. I just saw a bunch of words and names that just kind of didn't make sense. And once I came to God and I chose Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I told him that I'm going to follow him the rest of my days, the Bible changed. It became so, so important. I started to see messages everywhere, messages of love, messages of truth, messages of warnings about the things I willingly got myself involved in. It's all right here, and it's so beautiful, and I'm just so, so grateful. God is so good. He never stops pursuing us. He never forsakes us. It just takes some time, because we can, no matter how much we push him away, no matter how much we claim to hate him, his love is eternal, and he will never stop pursuing us until the day that we die. And I just pray for everyone that the veil can be lifted, and that God will protect you as it is, because it can be horrific at times. And But God is always waiting for us with open arms. And I'm going to close out with that. And I just thank you guys so much for joining me and listening to the things I have to say and sharing my testimony. And I really pray that it really helps at least one person. And I'll talk with you guys soon. Thank you.